Thanks so much for tuning in to the Christ Community Church podcast. It's our mission to help people grow in the likeness of Jesus so that they can go out and show his love to the world. If you're interested in hearing more about us, feel free to visit us on our website at ccchayward.com.
We are extra talkative today, and I love it. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Christ Community Church. If we haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, my name is Zach. I'm one of the pastors here along with Pastor Sue. Pat, I'm trying to preach. You made it all the way over there.
Greeter at heart.
It really is great to be here with you all this morning as we engage with conversation with one another and in this conversation with God that we're having, because that's really what this whole worship thing is. It's just a conversation where we get to speak to God and lift up our praises and our hearts, and we also get to take a moment to listen to what he's saying and open our hearts to receive his word. And so at this point of the service, we're moving from the speaking portion to the listening portion of the conversation, and I acknowledge that it might sound a little cocky to say that what you're about to do is hear from the word of God, when really the voice, the audible voice you'll be hearing it is mine. But I say that to acknowledge the fact that what's going on up here is a lot less important than what's happening out there and what's happening in here. Because this is where the true listening is going to take place this morning. This is where the action is happening. So this morning, I want to take a moment to invite the Spirit to speak to us, to open us up and receive the word of God this morning. So let's pray together. God, in the beginning, there was the word, and the word was with you, and the word was you. We believe that you, the word, and the Spirit are united in oneness. So this morning, we ask that you open our eyes to see you, open our ears to hear you, and open our hearts and lives to receive you this morning. And God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and all God's people said, amen. So the last few weeks, we've been going through this series that we've been calling Jesus According to Jesus, and we've been looking at these specific statements in the Gospel of John where Jesus tells us who he is through what we call the I Am statements. They're called the I Am statements because of this unique and special way that Jesus begins them. He begins them with two words, the Greek words ego and I Me, which both mean I Am. And when he does this, he's doing two things. The first thing he's doing is he's declaring himself to be God. This importance of him saying, I am, in this way often gets lost in translation because we don't speak Greek. But the words ego and I me are most of the original readers of John's gospel, when they read this, they're immediately going to think about the time in the Old Testament where God spoke to Moses in the burning bush and told Moses that he is ego, I me. I am who I am. Meaning he's completely independent and eternal and unchanging and the one who meets all of the needs of his people. So when Jesus says, I am, in this way, he's making that same claim. The second thing these statements are doing is to teach us about the characteristics of Jesus. Actually teach us who Jesus is, who he is, and what he does. And this is really important, especially for us. It's our mission here at Christ Community Church to grow in the likeness of Jesus. And in order to do that, we need to know who Jesus is, right? And so we've spent all this time, we spent the last 2 weeks, and we're going to spend the next four learning about who Jesus is, specifically from the words that John recorded Jesus saying himself. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how he's the bread of life, last week, the light of the world, and this week, the gate for the sheep. You know, we're surrounded by gates, which is good, because a lot of times the Bible can kind of get confusing with 2,000 years ago and understanding the context that is, but gates haven't really changed. I mean, the technology has advanced, but the purpose for gates has remained the same. They've existed for the same purpose. When we fly, we arrive and depart through gates. When we go to a concert or sporting event, usually you have to go through a security gate. Our homes, our apartments, our backyards, our pools, they all have, well, a lot of them have gates to keep people out that aren't supposed to be in there, but also to provide safety for those inside. You know, I'm reading a book right now, and there's a bunch of people surrounding a castle, laying siege to a castle, but the people inside of that castle aren't afraid because they know that their gate is strong and will outlast any army that's besieging them. If you watch The Lord of the Rings or any fantasy movie, you know that the first thing that an army does is go for the gate, because once the gate is down or open, it leaves the whole city vulnerable. And here in our passage, we have Jesus letting us know the importance of gates. And I never told you what passage we're reading, and I'm sorry about that. We are reading John 10, starting with verse 1. I'll give you a little time to open up there. If someone finds the page, feel free to yell it out and I'll repeat it for those still searching. 1527, if you're using a Bible in our pews. It's 1527. We'll be reading John 10, verses 1 to 10. I don't hear any more pages just turning, so I'm going to start. John writes, quoting Jesus, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In just these 10 verses, Jesus is making three distinct claims. He's claiming that he's the gate for the shepherds, he is the gate for the sheep, and that through him, you will come to know the good life. In chapter 9, just a few verses earlier, Jesus helps heal a blind, or actually, he does the healing. Jesus heals a blind man, but when the Pharisees find out, instead of rejoicing with the man who's just healed, they cast him out and condemn him, and they excommunicate him because they believe that he was blind for a reason, and that reason was because he was sinful. It's a result of his sins. So Jesus, in giving this sermon, he's in direct opposition of the Pharisees. And one of the reasons is because of how they treated this man. In Jesus' days, there were two ways that sheep were kept. The first was in larger cities and villages. And so the sheep pens would be surrounded by buildings. Kind of the buildings were the walls to the sheep pens, but they would have a gate on the front, and shepherds from all over the city would bring their sheep and put it into the one pen, and the gatekeeper would be watching the gate at all times so that no one that isn't supposed to be in the pen can get in there, and no thing that's supposed to escape the pen can escape. And the shepherds would come back in the morning and he'd let them in. And each shepherd would call his sheep, and the sheep, his own sheep, would come because they would know the shepherd's voice. Now, the other way was in the country, and you have walls of stone, but you wouldn't have a gate. There would just be an opening in the front. And so at night, the shepherd would lay across that opening and act as the gate. And in order for sheep to leave the pen or any predators to get inside of the pen, they would have to climb over the shepherd. The shepherd would literally become the gate. And in this, Jesus is referencing both for separate reasons. In verses 1 to 5, Jesus is exploiting these false teaching of the Pharisees, and he's using that city sheep pen as an example. Jesus tells us how sheep can only be accessed in one of two ways. Either you had to enter by way of the watchman who knows the shepherds, or you had to sneak in over the wall. And this was a clear shot at that false teaching that the Pharisees had been doing. Pharisees who considered themselves to be shepherds for the sheep, for the people. But in reality, they're coming over the walls and leading all of the sheep astray. And notice how Jesus calls them both thieves and robbers, which seem like synonymous words, but there's a small difference between them. The thief steals by stealth. He'll hide it under his coat and walk out the store. And the robber takes with violence. He'll steal it under gunpoint. Sometimes the false teachers used cunning and deception to lead others astray. Other times they used force and manipulation in order to get their own way. And even today, this is what we see. There are false teachers leading people astray knowingly and both unknowingly as well, using deception and also manipulation. But Jesus says that the sheep will know the shepherd's voice. So the question is, how do we know the false teachers from the real teachers? The true teachers come in through the gate, not sneaking over the sides. The true teachers are teaching about Jesus. They come through Jesus. And they live in ways that reflect that. Which, by the way, in order to know if they're true or not, we need to familiarize ourselves with the ways of Jesus. Great way to do that is with the things that we just read, the Bibles. Great place to start is in the chapter that we've been reading. But this is so important because there's plenty of teachers who will come in and promise you the good life, who swear that if you follow them, you'll experience and achieve everything you could ever hope and dream of. I mean, we see it in politicians all of the time. They draw you in with the promise to promote the sanctity of life or promote social justice. And then you look at them and the way that they live and how it doesn't often reflect that. They rarely practice what they preach. And so are they worth following? I mean, we see it with pastors and churches who claim that, you know, if you give enough or if you serve enough, God will bless you. He'll take care of you. But you need to give. You need to serve. And all the while, they're being blessed and their pockets are getting heavier, right? And we know that, but we know that we don't give in hopes of being blessed. We give because we are blessed. And we want to respond to what God has done in our lives in gratitude. And so these so-called teachers get it wrong. They're climbing in over the sides of the pen and not going through the true gate. They're not coming at it through a Jesus lens. You see, every claim to help you experience the good life that doesn't go through Jesus is actually destructive of life. All who make the claim aren't truly following Christ. They're just thieves and robbers. People who deserve to be listened to will always come to you from a Jesus perspective. with a desire to help you grow in faith and share your faith with others. And so first, Jesus says he is that gate to determine which shepherds are true and which shepherds are harmful. Then he makes a transition from sheep being held in the communal pens of the city to the ones in the country. And remember, these had that narrow entrance with no door, and the shepherd would sleep across that entrance and would literally be the door or gate for the sheep, and nothing can leave the pen unless they go through the shepherd. Nothing can enter the pen unless they go through the shepherd. And Jesus says, I'm that shepherd. I'm that gate right there. To go into the fold, you must go through me. To go out in the pasture, you must also go through me. And as that gate, Jesus is the protector and provider of the sheep, of us. So when you come into the gate, not only are you saved, but you're also safe and secure. When you go out into the pasture, not only can you feed, but you're nurtured and satisfied. Verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus doesn't say he is a gate. He is one way to the good life. He says he is the gate. The only, the one and only. Salvation is found solely through him, the one and only gate, the only way to the Father. That if there is no Jesus, that there is no way to God. Jesus makes that exclusive claim that I am God. I am the only way to God. I am the one and only mediator. There's no other way to the Father except through me. There's no other way. You can't work your way to God. No matter how hard you try. Which may sound like bad news, but it's good news, because no matter how hard you try, you wouldn't be good enough to work your way to God. And I know that sounds still sounds maybe like bad news. But the thing is, the opposite is also true. You can't work your way away from God either. God doesn't love you any more because of what you do, but God also doesn't love you any less. His love is already unmatched and unconditional. And it's only through Jesus that we have access to God. Jesus, God incarnate. God who took on flesh to become one of us. Jesus is the gate because though he was sinless, he became sin for us. Through no deservedness of our own, Christ took on God's anger for my sin, for your sin. He was judged in our place. He paid our debt. And through his resurrection, he defeated death. And the best news of all, we share in that resurrected life. He opened the gate for us into heaven, into eternity. He reconciled us with the Father. And that gate is open for anyone who puts their trust in him. See, we don't get in through our own effort or our ability or our looks or our deeds. We get in because Jesus invites us in. He invites us to come. And he opens that gate for us. Jesus is the gate for us sheep, and he is the gate to the pasture, the gate to that good life. A life of security and satisfaction, both now and forever. Security for our eternal life and for our earthly life. Jesus wants to know that no matter how great the trial or temptation, we are safe in his care, safe behind that gate. We can trust and cast our cares upon him. We can experience joy through him despite our circumstances. In times of turmoil and crisis, which seems pretty often nowadays, Jesus wants us to know that you and me, as followers of him, as his sheep, we're secure behind his gate. And it's really tempting to go off with those thieves and robbers, not just the false teachers, but the things that offer us a false sense of fulfillment or security, the desires of our flesh. But verse 10 is clear that an abundant life comes through Christ alone. Abundant life doesn't always involve comfort or wealth or other worldly things. But when Jesus talks of abundance, when he talks about the good life, he's referring to the things of God: relationship, presence, steadfast love, abundant forgiveness. And we have access to that life of abundance, to that good life, through the gate, through Jesus. As I was preparing for the sermon, I read a story from a blogger and a sheep farmer, which I don't think is usually a combination that you see very often online. But her name's Erin Davis, and here's what she wrote. "Sheep don't know a gate from a fence row. As a Midwestern sheep farmer, I can tell you this for certain. A recent run-in with a wayward sheep proves my point. Because the proverbial grass is always greener on the other side, our sheep are constantly stretching their necks out to try to nibble the grass outside the fence. Occasionally, one will barrel through the wire to get to the good stuff she's been denied. So it was that we discovered one of our sheep outside the pen on one hot day this summer. And the solution should have been easy. We simply opened the gate. But due to stubbornness or oblivion, the ewe remained outside the fold. We called and whooped, summoning her back to the comfort and safety of her flock. And instead, she kept ramming herself into the fence time and time again. The gate was wide open, but she defaulted to futile attempts to make her own way." I mean, does that sound familiar? Friends, Jesus stands at the gate wide open. The gate to the good life is flung wide, ready for you. Ready for you to stop trying to do it on your own. Or quit looking for the proverbial grass that you think is going to be greener. He stands open, ready to forgive, ready to love, and ready to meet you with all of his grace and security that he can only offer. And again, this isn't an exclusive gate. All who come to the gate can enter. And Jesus is calling you, inviting you. All you need to do is enter through the gate and rest behind the safety of him who calls you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know, we've heard that the only way to you is through the gate, through your Son. But so often we can be like the sheep that escape the pen and don't know how to get in. We try to find our own ways to the good life. We try to find our own ways of comfort and security, ways that only you can provide. So God, search our hearts and know us. Help reveal to us the things that are keeping us from you. Help us hear your calling and go to your voice. Lord, we ask these things in the name of your Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's all stand together and continue to lift up the name.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to support us in our mission to help people grow in the likeness of Christ so that they can go out and show his love to the world, you can do so by clicking the link in the description. Don't forget to click the follow button so you don't miss out on any upcoming messages. And until next time, thanks so much for listening, and go in peace to love and serve the Lord.